Hello, everyone. I am Johnson Obamainti.
And I am Faye Obamainti.
And we are the host of Oasis of Hope podcast.
Yes.
Yes. That is where this podcast is where we answer your questions about life and also provide hope that is found only in one source. Almighty God.
Yes. And this episode, if you remember, so today's episode is episode 74. Yes. So as mentioned in episode 73, we said we have a special guest that we'll be bringing. So your questions that you've asked about those heavy questions about life in terms of forgiveness, trauma, betrayals, and all those hard issues, we have someone with lived experience that we believe will be best suited in answering these questions.
Yes, sweetheart. I am so excited about this episode 74. However, just at the beginning of this week, I had an opportunity where a young lady approached me and speak with me about her difficulty in forgiving somebody that has done something wrong to her. So I believe that she will be listening to this podcast and she will be extremely blessed.
Wow, that is so great that it's a relevant one, an on-time one. Yes. You know, for believers all over the world that love the Lord and you are a doer of God's word, Matthew 6:14 tells us something. And we're going to begin with that. It says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father also forgives you." So, in light of this scripture, there is no other person that we are honored to have today on Oasis of Hope podcast other than the remarkable Holocaust survivor. And we all know how atrocious the Holocaust has been to humanity, not just to Jews. And so we have the honor today of having Mrs. Roseanne Zenner with us. She was born in Kaunas, Kovno in Lithuania. And when the Germany invaded that country in 1941, she and her family were confined to the Kovno neighborhood. And when she was six, her parents helped her escape through a hole that they dug under the neighborhood fence. She was met by her father's secretary and was hidden by several rescuers before being liberated by the Soviet troops in 1944. We have the honor today of having her right here with us to share her lived experiences that we know will bless you. Welcome, Mrs. Zenner.
Thank you so much. And I feel privileged to be on your show. You're doing such great deeds, and I'm sure the Lord blesses you for that as well.
We appreciate your kindness. That is so kind of you. We are the one that is honored.
Yes, we are honored to have you. Blessed to have you. You know, especially when you say yes to this podcast, we were so elated. And, you know, it was a prayer or dream come true and a prayer answered. So we do appreciate your time. And you've been so much of blessing to the whole world.
Yes.
And we know that, you know, God still got so much for us to glean from you.
Yes.
You're so kind. You. I really appreciate it. Thank and you. Know that I am very happy to talk about the topic that you have chosen today because it is one of the most difficult things to face, especially when you see the brutality in the headlines today. It doesn't seem that anybody or any country or organization seems to have learned from the past. The Holocaust was horrific, atrocious, and we thought it would never happen again. And then you look and people rejoice in cruelty.
Yes.
People, there's not one continent that has not been touched by that. So talking about forgiveness, talking on a world level is one thing.
Yes.
And it's not possible to disassociate that from the personal aspect of forgiveness.
That's
because
true.
You don't need to forget, but you need to move on.
That's
you need to letting go. Because otherwise, it will hurt you in the long run.
You know, we want to really dive in. We want you to share your, because we gave just a little bit of you in the introduction. But some might be saying, well, okay, we'll go check her up. Share with our audience just briefly about, you know, your childhood till that point that, you know, the Holocaust happened.
Well, I was a child and they wanted to kill me. And I could never understand why. I mean, I was trying to be a good girl. I was trying to be a pious girl. And they're still persecuting me. And I am now one of the last eyewitnesses that are alive to talk about the Holocaust.
Wow.
Because it's been distorted, it's been denied, it's been misunderstood. But it should have been like a beacon for others to stop the cruelty instead of continuing it. And I speak out because of that, because there is a better way. There is hope. There is justice. We just have to tune into it somehow. And through God's help, maybe we will, because otherwise we're suicidal as a human race. You know, so my experience has been that my rescuers have inspired me to know that there is goodness in everybody. They risk their lives to save mine. Now, how many people can do that and not be saintly?
So true.
I'm forever grateful. I live my life in great gratitude now.
That's true.
And so there is hope, and I want to convey that in spite of everything that you read in the headlines, look inside and find that little, hopefully not so little, spark that you can put light into yourself and into others. And I mean, even if you think that you have one drop of water that enters the ocean and you say, oh, it's just one drop of water. But, you know, the ocean is different because of that one drop. And you can be that one drop. You can forgive and you can make the world a better place.
You know, I like how Mrs. Senna explained this.
Yes.
You know, you're thinking about just one drop of water in the ocean. And then for those that are listening today, and they might say, well, mine is not Holocaust. Or yours could be a family member that hurt you. Yours can be a friend, a trusted friend that disappointed you. Yours can be anything. It can even be your coworker or your boss on the job. However, what are you willing to do? You should forgive. So that leads me to the next question that we have for Ms. Senna, that how important is forgiveness in living a purposeful life?
Yes.
Forgiveness is something that one carries as a burden. It's something that needs to be cleared for self-love as well as for being able to function better. In Judaism, we have a special command, basically. On New Year's Day, we start at 10 days of awe, and we have to be sure to have everybody forgive us and be sure to forgive
everybody else.
Wow.
And the Day of Atonement comes 10 days later, and by that time, we should be purified of anything that we need to forgive as well as being forgiven, or else we will not be inscribed in the Book of Life for the next year.
Yes, wow.
So that's awesome. the Torah part of it.
So do we have to forgive people because they ask for our forgiveness, or what should we do even when they don't ask for our forgiveness?
In Judaism, if you feel you have wronged somebody, you need to do that. If you feel that this is not, that you haven't wronged anybody, which is impossible in 1 year, at least being human, then you don't have to do that, and you can be inscribed in the Book of Life for the next year.
You know, I just love the experiences you're sharing with us. And, you know, when we look at forgiveness, you know, we've shared the Bible and all of that. But you alluded to something that is very powerful. And it ties into a principle from the Word of God, the Bible as well. And I know, you know, our Jewish brothers and sisters also through Judaism, as you've shared. He says that forgiveness is actually not for the person that offends us or sinned against us or did something against us, but is actually for us, because that is the pathway to our freedom on the inside. Yes, how true is that?
Well, that's just what we agree on, because it's a kind of a renewal of self-love, because you have healed, you have become more open, because that burden that you had before is no longer there.
It's no longer there. Mm. I love how you said it, burden. So unforgiveness, are you hearing this out there, our friends, brothers and sisters and partners? It's like carrying a burden. So imagine you're carrying huge backpack with rocks in it. Yeah. Or you're carrying huge loads. I know in Africa, you know, the women, when they go to the market, they carry the loads, they tie it and they put it on their head. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they can put it on their back. So imagine unforgiveness is a burden. And imagine carrying a burden. You're carrying it on your head, in your heart. You're carrying it all over. What does it do? It weighs you down. So it's kind of what psychologists say a lot. Unforgiveness leading into depression and, you know, and all the things that it's possible that it can lead to.
All kinds of behaviors that are probably not compatible with either themselves or the people around them, because it's anger. It's it's also a state of almost limbo, because you have something in you that doesn't belong to you. It's, it's somebody else that did something to you. You must move beyond that. You must move above that and start your life becoming the real you without this carrying this. I don't know what to say, but it's really something you don't want to have for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I guess the scripture is right when it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy loaded," because a heavy load, because we need a rest. You know, to get a rest from your heavy load or heavy burden, you have to come to God.
Yes.
And you have to let God carry that load, and you cannot help God.
Yes.
So when you say, "God, this is the load I'm carrying, and it's weighing me down, it's leading to depression, it's leading me to anger, quick anger, high temperament," so you have to let go.
Yes. And also, you know, you shared about that young woman that approached you to talk to you about the fact that somebody wronged her and she is unable to let go of
that. She just can't see herself forgiving that individual.
So this is a word of encouragement. We're here with a Holocaust, a remarkable Holocaust survivor. And you heard when she started that she's one of the few survivors left. And she's left and she's here providing not just lived experiences, but wisdom. Wisdom that will make anyone live a purposeful life. So you're there, you're a young person, you're old, you're young, it doesn't matter. Someone has done something to you. Do not carry that burden of unforgiveness any longer. Today is God's love and sign to you. You need to drop it.
Yes.
Drop that baggage. Drop that bag. Let it go and breathe a new life of forgiveness so that you can experience peace on the inside and begin to live the life God has called you to live.
Yes, talking about peace. You know, in Jewish language, we talk about shalom, you know, the Prince of Peace. I mean, we talk about peace. Peace be unto you. Right? So the next question that I have for Ms. Anna has to do with peace. How she was able to have peace and how she was able to attain this peace that we're talking about in spite of what happened. Because if we look around or if we even look into history, there's nothing that can be more atrocious. I don't care about who is a denier or whoever, but we are talking to a survivor. We are talking to an eyewitness. So there's no confirmation that we need more than what she has provided for us.
So in what ways did you keep your mind at peace in the midst of those trying times that you can share with our listening audience? no matter what they might be going through right now.
Yes. Well, I want to address the shalom, because that's probably the most spoken word in Israel. It's hello, it's goodbye, and it's also peace, like in the world and in your heart. And that's something that we try to carry and repeat over and over in our greetings. And I didn't know war, I didn't know peace, but I knew that God was giving me miracles each time I was saved from something. And my life has been so full of miracles that I need to live my life in gratitude now. And the fact that the rescuers showed me what goodness is, what it is to be righteous, what it is to be a citizen of the universe as well as of the world, because what they did was beyond the normal population. They became extraordinary instead of ordinary just by their deeds. And I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if anyone can do it really the way they did it. So there is goodness. And I can't emphasize enough that positive attitude, faith, and belief in a better world can carry you through many, many instances. And in a personal life, just love. Give love, be loved by, and love yourself.
Yeah. I hear you say so many things, that some of the ways you've kept your mind at peace during those time, and that people can. I heard you talk about you see everything as a miracle. That means you were not taking anything for granted. And if our people, our young people, can learn that, it's really a pathway of peace. Because right now in 2024, statistics shows that our young people have one of the highest percentages of mental illness, which comes in a wide variety, anxiety, depression, and all of that. One of the highest. That tells us a lot of things.
Oh, it's so sad. It's really so sad. It's our future. The young people are our future, and we need to reverse that. And I don't know how, because look at the examples that they have in politics, in agendas, in avoiding the truth for convenience almost, you know.
Very true.
And they have to be strong and create their own better world, as I keep saying, but it's possible.
It's possible.
You know, just follow what you think is truth in your heart, and then you can live it, and then you can share it. So then, when that happens, again, it's like that drop in the water. It's one thing starting, but the ripples keep going on and on forever.
Yes.
So you have the possibilities. Just go for it. And for me, it's been, I think I was born with a positive attitude, I think.
So positivity, I mean, it's a big, big value and principle that can get anyone through one of the most hardest times. I'm hearing you say that a lot. And, you know, even you said you're born with a, you know, positive attitude. Yeah. But
that's,
I think,
a virtue.
It's a virtue. So, yeah. But I think also through your life, you've developed it even in a stronger sense, that it's really, really been beneficial to you, even in different situations. And, you know, there is this thing called the Gallup Strengths. Is a strengths finder that tries to find the virtue strengths in humans. And one of those traits is positivity. Okay. And it shows that people with that virtue or trait as a strength can get through anything. It doesn't matter. And I'm hearing you say that, that that's one of the ways that you were able to keep your mind at peace during those trying times. Mm-hmm. And you still have it. Because you said that you live in gratitude. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Well, I have so much to be grateful for.
So
you know,
much, yes.
God gave me all these miracles, and now I feel like I have to share it with everybody, hoping that somebody somewhere will realize that there are valleys, but there are also mountains.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I believe that so strongly that unforgiveness is bondage. Yeah. And God has given you a ministry, believe it or not, where we have a lot of people that have been unshackled, unchained, and released from bondages of unforgiveness as a result of the message that you carry. So,
well, I hope I'm part of the drop.
Yes, yes.
And we are part of that drop in the ocean. We are all part of that drop in the ocean. We are all part of it.
He said it will be a time that when we get to heaven or paradise, whichever way we believe it, and then, you know, all those people will be coming to you, or even in this world, you still coming to you, calling you, or you remember.
I heard your story. I heard your story that with such atrocious thing as the Holocaust and being able to live a purposeful, meaningful, powerful life, I realized that, wow, if you can do it, I can do it.
And you taught me to forgive. Yes. You taught me to let go. You taught me to choose the other way. You taught me to be positive. So God is awesome. That is amazing.
Well, being here with you is part of my gratitude, you know, because I can share with others the fact that they can have hope, they can change, they can follow their own truth, and there is a better world that they can access, especially the young people.
Yes, very true. And the young people, it's their cry. They're looking for guidance. Yeah. They're looking for mentorship. They're looking for leaders to help them. That's their cry for that. And so all what we see is their cry. And like you said, many times they don't have the examples, right? And many of us will be able to say that, you know, growing up, we probably did not. However, there's a big thing that God has blessed all of us with, making those choices.
Yes.
So you might not have had it, but God can use you as you make those choices that, okay, I am going to be this. I am going to be that. And that's the power that every human has.
I believe that so strongly because in Africa, we always have the old saying that it takes a village to raise a child.
Hillary Clinton.
So that is actually coming out of Africa because
it's an African proverb.
You know, because we don't, you know, like elderly people are called daddy or mommy or, you know, uncle or auntie.
It's a family value.
So before that saying ever came across to the Western world, it's an African proverb.
Well, we had it in Europe also. It's just changing. Mm. It's changing. And there's a difference between the countryside and the cities as well.
True.
And I keep hoping that with faith and with a little introspection and changing paths, everybody can achieve some sort of joyful, healthy life.
Exactly. True, very true.
Yeah, I mean, if you live in a town, in a village, and anybody, even if not your biological father or mother, they see you doing something wrong, they have the liberty to correct you
and say,
and put you in the right path.
That what you're doing, you know, you might think you're wild. That is not sensible. Yeah. And they tell you, I think we're missing all of that in our world today. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, from our schools to our communities, you know, people are just scared to even, you know, our churches, our youth pastor, they're scared to even correct, you know, kids because, you know, they can be sued and all of that and the violence that can ensue from that. But like what he was sharing, the concept of it takes a village, anyone that sees, you know, that sees you going astray, they know your parents, they know who you are, and they know you're doing something you're not supposed to do. They call you out, they sit you down, they correct you in love, and then they go and tell your parents that they did that.
Yes.
And then the parents say, thank you so much. And the parents will do that too for another child. But we don't have that, the culture. Yeah, the culture that we have right now. The churches feels that their hands are tied. The schools feels that their hands are tied. Our communities feel that their hands are tied. So even when they see that child about to fall into the ditch, people just look away.
They pass the buck.
Yeah, they just look at what it's
yeah. Yeah, it's somebody else's. The family say it's a school. The school say it's the politicians. The politicians say we don't have the budget. Oh, it just excuses instead of doing what is done in the village. You know, that's a great example.
Now, that takes us to our last question. Yes. I mean, I'm looking at our time. We've had such a great time with you already. What is one message, if you will? We've been talking about our communities, our culture, our world as a whole. What would you say is one message, you know, like your closing thought message, especially in the world that we have? I heard you mention politicians, agendas, and all of that, because we know politics are always associated with that. And this year being an election year, you know, they want to pit us against each other as much as they can and as much as possible, if we let them. If we let them. What would be your one message that unifies us?
I have so many, but I'll make it short. See the other like yourself.
That is so amazing. Very true.
And love.
Yeah. Love.
See the other as yourself and love. And you know, love is so powerful. Love is so powerful.
Yeah.
And we are yet, even when we say as a church or the body of Christ, we're yet to really fully understand the power of love, of God's love.
It heals.
It heals. It sets free. Mm-hmm. It liberates. Mm-hmm. I mean, the power of love is so big and powerful.
Isn't that awesome? You know, we talk about the Ten Commandments, and even those Ten Commandments are all built on love.
Very
because
true.
Because when you love your neighbor, you love your friend, you love others like you love yourself, you will not imagine evil again,
just like the Holocaust, taking it back. The you know, with the Germans, and if they had loved themselves as they love the Jews, there wouldn't even be that thought that will have perpetuated even that kind of atrocious event. So it all falls back on love. So true. So
and you're such loving people and so caring. I'm so excited to be with you.
We are the blessed ones. We are the blessed ones, honored by your love, your humility. We are the blessed ones. So really, we are.
And God's hand is all over you.
Yes.
You know, because we can tell, even like you, with this strengthening you day by day.
The glow, the glow also that you have.
And to fulfill your purpose. So we're so thankful to God for you. Thank
for
you so much.
Thank you. Well, you have had a chance, our friends and partners all over the world, you've had a chance to hear from a remarkable Holocaust survivor, one of the few left. You've heard from her the power of love, the power of forgiveness. Now, let's take this truth, live it out, and let's go light up our world, your neighbor, your friend, your co-workers out there with the love of God.
Yes, and the last word, if you need to reach out to Mrs. Zena in any way whatsoever, you know, contact us and we will give you the opportunity to have her around, you know, for your program or anything that, you know, she'll be a blessing.
So, I think that's all the blessings that we are sharing with you today. Yes. So, as always, we say stay connected. We love you.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.